This program is produced by listener-supported KFUO Radio. Your support during KFUO Share-a-thon is vital to the continuation of great programs like this one. If you appreciate this program, please consider what you can give to support the ongoing ministry of KFUO Radio and this program. You can make a gift sending a text to the number 41444. Enter KFUO as the message. You'll get a text right back that walks you through the steps on your phone, and it takes just a minute or two. You can also visit KFUO.org and click on the donate button, or give Mary a call at 314-996-1518. Thanks for listening and supporting KFUO Radio. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. It is time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center. The text is John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. The Reverend Robert Wurst is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As Mary wept outside the tomb, she stooped and looked into its darkness. And there sat the angels. They wonder at her weeping. What is the cause of it? And she, not perceiving or understanding, speaks only what fills her eyes. Her Lord's body is not there. She doesn't know where he is. And she believes that seeing Jesus dead will give her a measure of comfort. Little does she know what he has in store for her. So turning from the tomb, she sees a man. Again, the question to her, "Why are you weeping?" "Just let me have his body, and I'll take care of things." And like a shepherd calling to his little lamb, Jesus speaks a word. And that word is like the olive leaf in the beak of the dove as it returns to Noah in the ark and gladdens his heart. That word of Jesus, that little bit of olive leaf from the Spirit, that uttered name completely illuminates her darkness. Mary. She is carried away by the warmth of her affection and her fervent love. She hastens to him and wishes to seize on him, he who fills all creation. She begins to cling to him as many of us do when we see someone we haven't seen for a while, someone we don't expect. She is beautifully emotional, joyful, and that joy is expressed in her word and her touch. But Jesus admonishes her, "Do not keep clinging to me." He must ascend to his Father. She is to go and tell the disciples. Do not cling to me. Now, it isn't as if Jesus is some kind of introvert who doesn't like hugs. People have been coming to him to touch the hem of his garment, to have him hold their children, to receive his touch of healing since he began his ministry. He was willing to make the leper clean, and he touched him. He was willing to heal Peter's mother-in-law, touched her hand, and she rose up and served them. The woman who had suffered from bleeding for 12 years touched the hem of his garment and was healed. He touched the three apostles at the transfiguration, and they rose up without fear. He touched the eyes of the blind. He touched the ears of the deaf. He touched the bier of the dead man, and they were restored to a full life. Let the little children come to me, he said. And he took them in his arms and blessed them. And in a few days, Jesus would urge Thomas to put his fingers in his hands and in his side. It's not like Jesus doesn't like being touched. So it wasn't wrong for Mary to cling to him, but it isn't the right thing at this time. You see, she's expecting Jesus to remain as he had been. She wanted the good old days. We know a few churches and synods like that. The good old days. She thought the resurrection would restore things to what they had been. She wanted everything to go back to normal. She wanted to go sit in Mary and Martha's house and eat one of her good dinners and chat with Lazarus and the disciples. But those days were finished. They have been fulfilled. Jesus is making everything new. So where will Mary find him if it is not there at his feet? Where will she be able to receive from him life and comfort, if not here with him being raised from the dead outside his very tomb, clinging to his feet? Where will she find him? What greater comfort could she have than this? Why does he tell her to stop clinging to him? There is something new and better in store, isn't there? The Apostle Paul touches on it. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Christ's exaltation to the right hand of his Father will make him accessible to all people. He could not remain here and be our great high priest. He, being merciful and faithful, our very brother, has made propitiation for our sins. He has obtained eternal salvation for us, and he rules all things for our good, filling all things, hearing our prayers, granting us life and salvation. As Jesus told the disciples, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow me soon." Take heart, you brothers of Jesus. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Christ comes to you and touches you more surely than if you had been in the garden there with Mary. As St. Peter said, we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, which we do well to pay attention to as a lamp shining in a dark place. The baptismal waters have washed over your head. Your pastor lays his hand on your head and forgives your sins with the word of God. Your Christian brothers and sisters console and encourage you with that word. Christ's exaltation, his flesh being taken up into the very Godhead itself, does not remove himself from us, though it does change the mode of our clinging. No longer able to grasp his feet, those holy feet pierced for our iniquities, we cling to him by faith and so apprehend all his benefits for us. We are Jesus' own brothers. He joins his flesh and blood to the bread and wine for our forgiveness and life. Flesh brought death into this world, and again the flesh of the Son of Man was given for the life of the world, that he who eats the flesh of Christ may have eternal life. These are the words of peace by which the Spirit brings Christ to you. We live in a dangerous world, a world filled with hate. And you are not alone in this world with your weeping, your sorrows, your fears, your anxieties. You are not alone even at the hour of death. The living word of Jesus is the olive leaf brought to you by the Spirit. And he makes all things new. His resurrection and life going out into the world. As the angel said, Christ is crucified. He has been raised from the dead. And that's the purpose of his coming into our flesh, is for our life and for our salvation. And so now he is exalted. His human nature taken up into the divine. He sits at the Father's right hand, where he rules and reigns forever. He has delivered us out of our death and our misery. He prepares a place for us. And there in our true home, we shall behold him visibly and tangibly, eternally rejoicing in an everlasting communion with him and our Father. So Jesus' words to Mary, "Do not cling to me," were not harsh. They are the first hint of a greater thing. And he sends Mary back to the disciples with those beautiful words, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." He sends her back with that olive leaf, "My Father is your Father. My God is your God. You are my brothers." There is no anger, no retribution, no vengeance awaiting them. Christ is coming to meet them with joy and restoration and life. He has paved for us the road to heaven. Mary is the woman who has found the lost coin. She rejoices and announces what she's found. She takes that olive leaf to the disciples as she hastens to tell them, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them all that he had said to her. And they took that and they bore it out into the world, yes, down to us and our children. And we sing glad songs of salvation around the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. And we sing to him, "You have conquered in the fight. You have brought us life and light." Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.